Well, today I have an unusual title for my message. And I don't know if you'll giggle or be appalled. I'm not sure what you'll do, because I'm not sure that you'll fully understand it until we get toward the end of the message. But today I'm going to talk about spiritual constipation. Yeah, some of you are going, okay, it's going to be one of those messages, huh? Well, I'll get to the reason why I'm calling that, but I just have a question. How many of you couldn't wait to get here just to experience the presence of God? You just felt like, yeah, I can't wait to get here. Okay, that's good. And then how many of you on Sundays when you leave here, you can't wait to get home just to experience the presence of God? Yeah, isn't that funny? We're like looking forward to getting here so we can experience the presence of God, but we don't get in our car and go, and now I'm going to go home and I'm going to experience the presence of God. It'll be awesome. Here's the question. Is God more present here than he is at home? You know, we don't think of it the right way sometimes, do we? Now, in a sense, maybe there is an easier atmosphere here to experience the presence of God than there is at home. I can understand that to a degree. You know, every time I come into a congregation, you know, meeting like this where there are people and you connect with other believers and you're all, you know, you're all anticipating things, it does make it easier to connect to God because I'm connecting to you and part of God is in you, or if you will, part of, not really, all of, see, that's it's even those terms. We try to find words all the time, don't we? For spiritual things, and spiritual things are more complicated than that. But I see a little bit of God that I wouldn't see otherwise in you. See, I experience God in a way that I can't unless I'm experiencing you, and the more of us that get together, the more of the puzzle, if you will, fits together and we see God. And so, yes, you do kind of come to church to experience God and to be touched by God, and that's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. But at the same time, it's not like he got diminished when you left the building. God's still everywhere. And we can't go anywhere to escape his presence. And this verse has been shared by a couple of different people who have stood in this place and talked. And it's been shared by me before. But go to Psalm 139. And we're going to start with verse 7 right there, Psalm 139. And it's familiar, and we've heard it before. I remember Mark shared from here one time, and he went further with it than I'm going to. He was going after something else in the context. But I'm just going after just kind of confirming what I've been saying here. So Psalm 139, verse 7, are you there? Say amen. Okay, about half of you, that's pretty close. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. Well, that was easy. We all knew that. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Ooh. What? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. This is pretty amazing to think about how God has got a grip on you no matter where you are. And it's just a matter of recognizing that God has a grip on me no matter where I am. But sometimes that's, I don't know, that's hard. Or maybe I just need to remember. Oh, remember, here we are again, 3 weeks in a row now. Pastor Tim's talking about remembering. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I think we owe the world an encounter with God. And the world can't always encounter God here with us because they're not here most of the time. So we owe them an encounter with God, and with God's presence, and that encounter should be powerful And it will probably be emotional. And it would be good if people can feel the presence that we sometimes feel. And it is possible to carry that presence and to even carry that feeling beyond these walls. It's challenging in some ways, as I said, because it's really easy to do. When I'm hanging out with y'all and we're all talking about, you know, the goodness of God and we're encouraging each other and all that, it's nice. It's easy. But can I do that even when it's not easy? And am I willing to try? So we were at Bob Evans last week and took our moms out. Got to take our moms. It's really good. Monday with the moms. And so we went to Bob Evans, and there was a waitress there. And you know me. I like to prophesy over my waitresses. And so I'm checking out, you know, just she's serving, and she's being so diligent and everything. And God spoke to me and said, tell her that she's got this. She's got... I had this picture of her being able to grip something, to grab hold of something, and it's going to be okay. She was going to be able to handle it. And so I began to prophesy that to her. And you know, you can't see the whole face. I really miss prophesying to people's whole faces. But you could see it in her eyes, and then she started to get choked up just a little, and she said, wow, I think she said I needed that, or that was good, or you know, something like that. She put her hand up here and, thank you. I could tell that it touched her, and I could tell that a little bit of God's presence had come into that place at that moment for her. I love the tangible, the emotional presence of God. But I've also been aware for a long time that we walk by faith and not by feelings. This isn't about us having to have that all the time, and yet God wants us to have that. I've always found it fascinating, I've said this before, that two people can be in the same service or the same room, and one can be experiencing the goodness of God to the point where they're laughing or weeping or having some big thing just happen, and another one can be like, you know, nothing. It's not happening. I've seen it happen in this very room. I've seen it happen in every church that I've ever been in where the presence of God was there. And you suddenly start to feel like, wow, something's going to happen. And somebody else is like,
wish they'd sing my favorite song.
Anyway, you know, whatever. And they're just not connecting. Now, what either of them are feeling doesn't change anything about the reality of God's presence, does it? One feels it, one doesn't. Or should I do it this way? One feels it and one doesn't. I don't want everybody always pointing at me. No, you know, sometimes it's just, but just because you feel it doesn't mean that it changed, because God's presence is there. He's always there. I will never leave you or forsake you. One of our favorite verses that we quote. Actually appears a couple times in the Bible. It's one of those double promises. And most of us have heard me talk about Jacob and his experience at Bethel when he was getting ready to meet Esau, and he was fleeing where he had been and had taken all of his stuff and hit the road. And you know, he has this experience where he sees this ladder and he says, God was here and I didn't know it. Boy, that's happened to me. God was here and I didn't know it. Everybody else was catching on, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm not feeling it like everybody else. My favorite verse out of that passage, Genesis 28, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place and I was not aware of it. How can the Lord be somewhere and us not aware of it? But the reality is, he's at home. He's at work. He's at school. He's at the park. He's down by the creek when you go fishing. He's everywhere. He didn't disappear. His presence didn't withdraw. There's not less of it. And in a sense, that's a problem because theologically, there's not more of it. If there's not more of God's presence someplace, why, maybe I'm demotivating people.
Well, I can just stay at home then and get his presence.
I don't want to demotivate people from coming to the church. But it really is easy to miss God's presence. And it's easy to forget that he's with me wherever I'm going. And by the way, don't be critical. Don't be mean to anybody who's not experiencing God's presence the way you are. Like, sometimes I've had that problem, maybe you've had it too, where I can't understand why that person can't figure out what's going on here right now. You know, they seem to be missing it completely. What's wrong with them? Well, when you don't be demeaning about it. We don't want to demean someone because they aren't feeling what I'm feeling. You want them to have that, but maybe they need some things to happen before they can have that. And maybe you can be part of that. Wouldn't that be great? They need a breakthrough, and you could be part of their breakthrough. Early on in my life as a pastor and a leader, I had these experiences where I would get up and give a message or do something and feel like, yeah, nailed it. And nobody responded. Like, oh, thought you nailed it. But nobody's really, you know, you couldn't tell anybody was really getting it. Yeah, it's frustrating because, you know, you want people to say amen, amen? Yeah, there we go. Okay. Participation is allowed in this place. You know, you're allowed to get, like, if it rings true, yell it out. Hallelujah, whatever you need to do. But I've mentioned this before, but indulge me. Repetition is good for your soul. It helps you remember. Sometimes these little stories, you just kind of stick in your head, and then you remember, and then you go, oh, yeah. And then when it happens to you, you're going, oh, I get it. I see that. I remember one particular Sunday in the second church that I was pastoring. I shared a word, and I immediately had the feeling this time that it didn't go anywhere. We used to talk about that. How many of you ever ran CB radios? Did you ever do that? Yeah, and sometimes you couldn't get your signal past your bumper. It's like your signal wasn't going anywhere. No one would hear you. You know, what's wrong? I can't get out. And it felt like that day my signal was not getting anywhere, and I was kind of bummed. And that church was unlike this church, which has four ways for you to exit. Five, actually. Six. Well, anyway, unlike this church where I don't know what door to stand at, I did know what door to stand at there. There was basically one way out, and I would go and stand at the door and shake hands with people on the way out. And people were kind enough, but they weren't going like, thank you, that was awesome, you know, or anything like that. And you know, I don't have to have that all the time. I just do my best to do what God tells me to do. So I had shared, I had given what God had given me that day. And even though as I was shaking hands, nobody said anything. And nobody said anything until two ladies who were visitors got to the door. Now, maybe they were just trying to flatter me, but I don't think so. They just went on and on and on and on and on about how that message just ministered so much to them. It was such a blessing. Just what they needed to hear that day. And later I had to think, was it possible that it was God's plan for me to preach something that those two ladies needed specifically? Was it possible my congregation was going to be fine if what I gave them wasn't the most applicable, most, you know, delightful, most interesting, most amazing thing I'd ever preached? But for those two ladies, they needed something that day. And is it okay if I preach something that you don't need, but that somebody else needs? Now, I got to be careful with that because I've had people who were very excited about something I was preaching because, man, it's going to hit so-and-so this week. You know, like they wanted to say, I'm glad so-and-so was here to hear that. Boy, they need to hear that. Well, you probably need to hear it too. You know, be careful about that thinking. Somebody else needs to hear this because sometimes we need to hear it and we need to get it. And even if it's something that I've said before, it's important for you to remember it, be reminded of it, get it functional in your life. For it to become real, for it to take on something of, you know, the reality of what God is doing. Even, again, I'm not always going to come up with something that you haven't eaten before. The cuisine there is so special. They come up with things that are just, it just tickles my taste buds and makes me feel so happy. And you know, and they don't serve the same thing over and over and over. No, they're always surprising me with something new. You know, sometimes you just need meat and potatoes, folks. You just need a good meal. You know, chow down. Eat it. It's good for you. It's spinach. Suck it up. You need some iron in your diet today. So I dropped a sledgehammer on your head. No, it's just, you know, sometimes we just need things. But let me just say this. Let me use a little hillbilly terminology. Does that sound good? Because some churches are all about dipping. But we're here about equipping. You might want to come here and dip in it and just get it. Oh, it's just so good. I just feel God's presence. Oh, I like that church because they just have it. And they want to dip in here. But you know, I've known some people like that. They were dipping everywhere. They were dipping over here and they were dipping over there. And they never seemed to get any equipping. Just always dipping. And we're interested in equipping you here. The goal is for you to leave here with something that if you'll plug it in, it'll help you. It'll empower you. So let me say it this way. Some churches like to provide fish, and some churches want to teach you to fish. I think we've done a pretty good job of teaching most of you to fish. And we're going to keep teaching you to fish so that you can get what you need, even when you can't get into the building to hear someone minister something to you and encourage you. I've watched over the years, and of course I've been here almost 23 years, or is it more than 20? Is it almost 24 now? It'll be 24 this fall. Wow. I've been here forever. Are you tired of me yet? Well, that was nice. A couple people said no, and some others just grinned. Okay. Not sure how I'm supposed to take that. All right. I walk by faith, not by sight. That's good. Yeah, my wife's grinning. She's like, she's been putting up with this pastor for 40 plus years now. You know, she's had to listen to me. And she doesn't just hear it here on Sunday morning, by the way. I rehearse some of this stuff with her before I preach it. She's like, oh, but I've noticed that some people have come into this church and other churches that I've been the leader of, and they just, oh, this is the best. I just love this place. Oh, I just feel God's presence here. I just love this. It's so magical. And it's everything that's so good. And just everything that's so wonderful. I'm just so blessed here. And I'm just so glad you. Thank you for being to this. And I'm so glad I can come here. And, you know, and you're like, okay, yeah, cool. I'm glad. And then within maybe a couple of years or sometimes just a couple of months, poof. And a lot of times what I hear later is, well, I wasn't being fed there. I got it. Now, I do believe that it's possible that it can come to pass, and probably does. I can get to the point where I don't have the ability to effectively communicate what every single person needs. That makes sense? I mean, I probably can't. And I accept that. But if there are people who are getting ministered to effectively, and yet an individual no longer feels it, there could be some other possibilities in that scenario. Okay, it could be some other reasons why that staleness has come upon them, and they are experiencing less than they were when they first came here, and they were all so excited to be here. It's just so good. So consider this possibility, for example. What if when they first came to the church, they didn't have the capacity that now God has developed, and now they have a greater capacity, and they need more. They need more than they can get here. Their capacity for understanding the things of God and their capacity for and their hunger for the things of God has grown. And someone might say, well, then maybe they need to move on to a church that can give them what they need. And while that might sound reasonable, I don't think it is reasonable. I don't think it makes sense. Because at some point, we all need to shift from being primarily a ministry consumer to becoming a ministry contributor. At some point, we all need to move from being ministry consumers to ministry contributors. And when I say ministry, I don't mean just, you know, we do pass around a cleaning sheet. Yeah, that's great. That's a good way to start, maybe. But, you know, there's more to ministry than vacuuming the carpets or getting rid of cobwebs or whatever like that. There are lots of things that you can contribute and ways that you can minister to one another that sometimes I don't find out about until later. There's been some incredible prophetic words and people healed and stuff that's happened in this church, and I was nowhere around. Like, I was in another room and something was going on, you know, and we have this little orange foyer over here where people have been taken sometimes to be ministered to because they just needed to get away from the sound or the loudness because somebody was talking to them and ministering to them, and, you know. At some point, there needs to be a shift from coming to eat fish to actually being able to fish, and maybe even to be bringing fish. Bringing fish. Are you bringing it when you come on Sunday morning? Are you bringing it with you? Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, I'm going to read it from the NIV, says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But the solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. I think most of us in this room, most of you, are way past the dipping, you know, into the goodness of God thing where that's what you come here mainly for. I think most of you are pretty good at dishing it out. Isn't that a neat idea? You know, when we come together and we go over in the fellowship hall and we have a carry-in dinner, everybody brings a little something, and it's amazing, isn't it? Sometimes it's really, really super amazing. It's like, all my favorite things just showed up. Thank you, Mark. I was looking at Mark and I looked over. Thank you, Mike, for bringing gizzards. I love gizzards. They're gizzards. Hearts and gizzards. Giblets. That's what they are, giblets. Giblets in oh, it's just good sauce. It's just barbecued sauce, giblets. It's so good. Can't get those every day at home. Come on. And some of you are like, I don't want none of them giblets. Some of you know the story about Melissa, but if you don't, ask Mark. He'd love to tell you. Anyway, Melissa and giblets. I believe that God, though, as far as we've come, God wants us to keep taking it further. God wants us to take this a little further. God wants us to go a little bit further than it's been going. You can catch enough for yourself and not have to come in here dying for the pastor to be the one to provide for you sustenance enough that, you know, you can make it through another week. But can you catch enough to bring the giblets, to bring something that somebody else doesn't have? Because that's what God's designed you to be, somebody who brings something that somebody else doesn't have. You are not just coming out of a stamp thing, you know. You are coming out of, God made you special. And so it's a really important thing. So when people are coming here week after week and they're getting blessed, that's good. That's what we want. But if we start coming here week after week specifically to bless someone else? That's better. I come here to get blessed, but what if I come here to be a blessing? What if on my way here I'm thinking, who can I be a blessing to when I get there? A thought, isn't it? And if we come here week after week and God blesses you each time you come, that's great. But it's even greater if each time you come, you really bless God. And I remember, some of you can identify with this. I remember when it was a sacrifice of praise to lift my hand. Whew, boy, this was really crazy. People raising their hand. People around me are raising hands. Okay, I can do that too, I guess. Feels kind of weird. I'm not used to this. It's not how we always did it. And then a little while goes by and you're like, yeah, come on. And you start to, and then pretty soon you're, ah, you know. Where do you go from there? The sacrifice of praise is sometimes what you do when you don't feel like doing it. That's why it's a sacrifice. So sometimes people are trying to get what they need without understanding that what they need is to be a blessing. Let me say that again. Sometimes we fail to understand that our needs aren't being met because we haven't been a blessing. We're not getting blessed because we haven't been a blessing. Hence, spiritual constipation. Because if you ain't getting rid of stuff, you can't add any new to it. Some people are just plugged up. It's just what it is. You just done got yourself all plugged up. Sorry, that may be a picture that you don't even want to do in church. But it's real. How many of you have met some really constipated spiritually Christians? You know, you can just tell by the look on their face. They ain't got no joy left. And whatever you give them, they don't want it. No, not right now. Not right now. No, don't give that to me. I got stuff going on here. Just leave me alone. There are lots of scriptures, by the way, that confirm this idea that you have to give in order for there to be this flow of giving. You have to, well, let me give you an example. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, what do you have to do? Be a servant. There you go. Matthew 23:11, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. I want to increase, and in order to increase, I have to kind of decrease. I'm going, it's, you got it. Scripture says, if you want to gain your life, you must lose it. I'm going to lose it. Yeah, and you need to. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Matthew 10:39. We have to die to really live. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We need to humble ourselves in order to be exalted. 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We need to give in order to get. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. It's all through the scripture. We've got to figure this out. Otherwise, we will end up spiritually constipated all the time. We have to get into the flow of God. That's just weird. But that's the illustration God gave me. Sorry. You know, these things that I've just shared with you are some of the promises of God. And we need to sometimes step out in faith in those promises even when we don't feel. Right? Right? Yeah, sometimes we need to do something even when we're not feeling it. I need to take a step. I need to take some action. I need to go here. I need to do this. I don't feel like smiling, but I'm going to smile at someone anyway. I don't feel like being cheerful, but I'm going to try to cheer them up. Have you ever cheered someone up and felt more cheery yourself? Sure. Been there, done that. Every mother in the room has done that. Your little one comes to you and you're just having a bad day, and suddenly your little one comes and they're having a bad day, and you stop thinking about you because you're so concerned about that little one you love, and you try to cheer them up, and after they get smiling, you're smiling too, and you're like, wow, that's good. That's how it works. That's how it's always worked. So the way to get filled up is to be poured out. Have you been to a gas station in your life? Anytime? Yeah. Is there a gas station in this town that all they do is gas? That's it? Nothing but gas, gas, gas alone? I've been to those gas stations before. I can't think of one anywhere near this part of the country. I remember being to one in California once when I was out there going to a conference. And you pull in and there's just pumps. Just pumps. No building to even go with it. Just pumps. Weird. You ever been to one of those? Anybody? No, not too many. Yeah, it was just, you know, just that's what they had. You need a gas, pull in, get your gas, keep going. It was all machine. Nobody was there. It's all machines, you know, just use your credit card, get your gas, keep moving, buddy. I'm not going to mess with you. I don't think too many of them exist anymore. I remember probably the one that I remember seeing, or the one or two that I remember seeing out west was, you know, 10, 15 years ago now. And I think most of the companies, the oil companies, have figured out you don't really want to do that. Because if they have a problem, you know, there's nobody there. And besides that, if they do come in, you're going to sell more stuff. Have you noticed that they sell lots of stuff at gas stations? Stuff that you just can't even imagine that they sell at gas stations. They have at gas stations. It's kind of crazy. Do people ever go to gas stations then for anything besides gasoline? Have you ever pulled in and not gotten gas, but just run in and gotten something? Sure. Sure, that's become a pretty normal thing. But I suppose that if you really think about it, almost everybody who goes to a gas station, most people who go to a gas station are consumers. They're there to consume. They're there to get something. Usually gas, but usually they get gas and something else. They want a cappuccino or whatever. They got to have it. The church has often been compared to a filling station. And don't get me wrong, I do want you to leave here full. My heart's desire for you is that you'll leave here full today. But I don't want you to get your tank filled each week and then wait another 7 days before you come and get your tank filled again, and then wait another 7 days before you get your tank filled again. I don't want the people of God to be people who are dependent on the filling station just to get fueled up. You're not, listen to me, you're not just a little vehicle with a small tank of gas that'll get you where you need to go, you know, from point A to point B. I'm not really interested in just filling your tank so you can just make it another week. I'm not even really interested in just getting you into heaven. I'm more interested in getting heaven into you. And God sees you in a different way than maybe you see you, and I know the devil sees you in a different way than you sometimes see you. God knows how he created you. He knows that he created you to be more than just this little, you know, beep, beep, little car that runs around and gets from point A to point B. So when you come here, the goal isn't just to supply you fuel so you can make it through to another week. The goal is to fuel you up. I want to do that. And then to check out your engine and to air up your tires. And then I want to load you to full capacity with everything that you're supposed to be taking wherever you go. Then I want you to get in touch with the Holy Spirit Logistics Office so you can listen to the Holy Spirit Logistics Office and say, I got a full load. Where am I going? Some of you are 18-wheelers. You're stocked up. You got a full trailer behind you. There are deliveries to make and deliverance that's needed. And so God's sending you out wherever you go to a world that is in short supply of everything that you have. Do you see yourself that way, or are you just trying to fill up to make it through till next week? Another metaphor that we've used here is the one of the church here being the opposite of the NFL. The NFL practices through the week and they play their game on Sundays. We practice on Sunday and we play our game through the week. We're out there on the field all week long. And then we come in here. And it's good that we practice and it's good that we ice if we got an owie, somebody twisted our leg. You know, whatever we've done, we need to come here and get that. I want that. Don't misunderstand. But we need to practice. And here's another thing. If I come in here and I'm only dipping in here and not really worried about being equipped, then maybe I won't take this moment, this opportunity where here we are and we can practice together. So let me tell you a few plays you can run while you're here. And if you get good at running the plays here, guess what? Coach puts you in out there. Right? Okay. So let's think about some plays we can run. How about the Romans 16:16 play? Romans 16:16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Oh, we're on dangerous grounds now with some of you. Okay. Remember, we're in the United States of America. Do not be slobbering all over somebody. But the idea of that greeting is, and by the way, it says that four times in the Bible, greet one another with a holy kiss. The idea of that is that God wants us to intimately connect with other people. And so this is your opportunity to intimately connect with other people, some of whom you don't know that well. If you look around the room right now, is there anybody whose name you don't know? Is there anybody whose name you don't know? There might be. Exodus 33:17 is another play. It's where God told Moses he knew him by name. You know, sometimes it's really important to know somebody by name. You can really get to know people by name. And if you don't know somebody in this room by name and you want to run the other play, the Romans 16:16 play, and you want to run that, but you don't know them by name and you feel like you need to know their name, there are people in this room who know everybody by name. Wanda. Is she working in the nursery? Yeah. What's that? Yeah, she's back there letting you have a chance to come out here and just soak it in. Yeah. Wanda's a blessing, I tell you. She's been for years and years and years. She's been writing down everybody's name who comes here on Sunday morning. She was the person I picked on when I came here almost 24 years ago and said, we're going to make this list, and we have a list, and we're checking it twice. We're going to find out who's naughty and nice. No, we got a list, and we know that you're here, and we check off people who are regularly here, and then if somebody's here who's not regularly here, Wanda makes an effort to get their name. It's really good. And so as a result of doing that week after week, guess what? She knows their name. So you see somebody and you'd like to run that Romans 16:16 play. You'd like to make them feel welcome and greet them and warmly connect to them, but you don't know their name, so you go find Wanda. Hey, that guy over there with the green shirt on that says Spartans, what's his name? Oh, and then our Michigan fan right here is looking at you funny, just so you'll know. Hey now, pipe down. Yeah, more important than Ohio State, Michigan is Ohio State, Michigan State. For people in Michigan especially, or from Michigan. So Wanda will know. She'll know this stuff. And there's a couple other people who have been doing this. I think Joyce has been doing it some, haven't you, Joyce? Joyce, have you been writing down some of the names? Yeah, so Joyce about knows everybody. How many of you have noticed Joyce likes to greet everybody? She runs that play every week. Very friendly. She's not afraid. That's why she's in charge of the Fearless Fun Lover group. Not afraid. But, you know, there's another play you can run, by the way, if you want to know someone's name. There's another play you can run, even if you can't find Joyce or Wanda or somebody. There's another play you can run. It's the 1 Peter 5:6 play. I just quoted it a little bit ago. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So what you do is you walk up to somebody, you don't know their name, and you look at them, you say, I should know your name, but it just went. It's a little embarrassing, especially if you're the pastor. You're supposed to know everybody's name. By the way, I can forget my own family's name. So if I don't remember your name sometime, it's not any it's not a lack on your part. There's something with the gray matter that doesn't always function. But nevertheless, I'm just saying sometimes the fact that you took the time to look at somebody and say, I should know your name and ask them what their name is just evidence that you took the time to care. You took the time to care about their name. And I have found that when I do that, if I'm having trouble remembering somebody's name, if I do that, it makes me remember their name because I feel silly that I didn't know their name. So I'm a little embarrassed, so I've humbled myself, and I've got over my constipation, and now I'm ready for God to exalt me. Does this make sense? Are you here? Are you getting this? All right. I want to make sure. These are the plays that we can run while we're in church. And when you practice something here, and I'll probably key you into some more plays. Some of you already know the plays that you can run here in church, and you were already thinking of some. But when we run these plays here and we get good at doing it here, it helps us to take it out there. We get in the habit of it. I've been working hard on learning to look at the name tag of the person who's waiting on me if I'm in a checkout line especially, or if I have to go in. I've been going in a lot to Menards because I own two houses and I need to narrow it down to one. And I'm buying stuff for both houses because I've got to get some things fixed at one house so I can sell it. And then we don't even have a bathroom at the other house now. I tore it out. So I got lots of stuff to buy, and I don't even waste time. When I go into Menards, I look for a blue shirt. Come here. Yeah, can you tell me where I can find this? I don't have time to wait. I got to find this, and I got to find it now. And they're very happy to help. And if I see them, and they've got a name thing on, I call them by name. And I've also learned to kind of try to listen to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Is that guy Robert over there? Let's go see if that's Robert. No, you missed it. Okay. Well, but what if I get a word of knowledge? You know, what if I could start practicing for that? Just giving God an opportunity to speak to me. If you go into a restaurant and you call your server by name, you have probably paid more attention to them than they've gotten in days. Even if you don't prophesy over them. But if you call them by name and you recognize that they're a human being that might be having a bad day, by the way, so maybe that's why their service isn't that great, and you care more about them than you do your service, and you become the servant instead of the served one, you will get past a level of constipation that we all need to get past. My wife's giggling. Can't believe I'm still saying that. And I believe that if we remember to call them by name, that it gets their attention and we suddenly start to become a witness. And we need to remember that we are witnesses. That was last week's message. And as we witness to them, even again, if we don't mention Jesus, even if we don't preach at them, but we just show them light and love and encouragement, I believe God can do stuff and maybe open up doors for things to happen that would be just fabulous. Wouldn't you just love to do that? Yeah, I'd love to do that. And I do that. I try to do that. And suddenly, we start to manifest who God created us to be, and we start to realize who we are. And maybe you're an earth moving piece of equipment. You're going to shake their world. Or maybe you're just a flower delivery truck and you're just going to sweeten up their life and just bring affection into their life where they don't feel like anybody's cared, but for a moment you cared. I don't know what God's going to use you to do, but I know that God wants you to come in here and get loaded up and go out there full and ready. And when you do, a weird thing will happen. You'll experience his presence. Yeah. And it'll be sometimes maybe even better than what you got here on Sunday. Wow. There's an idea. So I just want to encourage you to let God's presence flow through you, leak out of you. I heard a preacher say this once, just go out and leak all over everybody. But really, you have it. His presence is in you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And if you've got it and you recognize it and you start to give him an opportunity, he'll get it out of you even if you can't tell it's there. Mark, come up, close this service for me this morning. And worship team, let's head for the platform.
While Tim was talking, I could envision a pond or a river. You know, the pond and the river takes rain from heaven, but it doesn't just contain it. The pond then uses that water to nourish trees, sometimes flowers, sometimes birds, sometimes fish, any living organism that's nearby. So it takes the rain from heaven and pushes it out to nourish other things around it. It makes that benefit. And I think that that's sometimes what we need to keep in mind. We're not being fed so that we can drink it all up. We're being fed so that we can nourish others. And it goes back to that concept of what Tim and I have been talking about now for over a month. Remember who you are. Remember who God created you to be. Remember that. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for a wonderful word this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for drenching us with your presence when we're here in your house. We just ask you to help us to just be a tube. Let that presence flow from you through us to those around us. Let us be an instrument of your love, an instrument of your kindness, an instrument of your power, an instrument of your forgiveness, an instrument of all those blessings that you wish to push upon your people. Let us be the conduit that goes from you to them today and every day. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.